Thank you very much, Lauren. Hey, it's 6:07, and that means Your Money Matters is coming up next on this Wednesday, June 22nd. And we got two great stories for you that are very interesting. The amount of us that need to work a side hustle, boy, I've talked about that a lot on this program, is going up, and it's going up a lot. And there's a huge disparity on how much money you make in a side hustle, depending on your gender and your age. It'll be an interesting discussion we have with Ted Rossman from Bankrate. And Chicago's housing boom is over. That was a bold headline that caught my attention yesterday. We'll talk to the author who wrote that story coming up next on Your Money Matters. Well, we've got a great show for you today. We'll be talking with Ted Rossman from Bankrate.com in just a moment about side gigs and how important they are to so many Americans and how the numbers are going up incredibly. And it makes sense with inflation. Now, also, they're going up for different motivations, too. We'll talk about Ted about that in just a moment. I did see one big local story in the business world that certainly impacts my life and maybe a lot of you out there. Delivery drivers for the wholesale alcohol distributor Breakthrough Beverage remain on the picket lines as their strike has continued into a second week. There's about 120 delivery drivers on strike. They say they're seeking better systems to manage safety threats on the job. They've had a few of their riders robbed on the job. They want to stop increasing load sizes and the ability to take earned paid time off. I'm just wondering if anyone has noticed at any of their grocery stores, because these folks deliver to grocery stores, to bars, and they move a lot of booze around the Chicagoland area. And a lot of booze gets drunk in the Chicagoland area. And I wonder when that's going to start impacting the deliveries of these goods, because as it enters a second week, obviously the first week you probably have up amount of supplies you've kept in the back or in front. And as those dwindle down, I imagine that will put more pressure on. Also, we were talking about gas prices. The big national story of the day came out of the White House. This has been teased for a while. Here's President Joe Biden talking about gas prices.
Today I'm calling on Congress to suspend the federal gas tax for the next 90 days through the busy summer season, busy travel season. Here's what that means. Every time you go to the gas station to fill your tank, the federal government charges an 18 cents tax per gallon of gas that you purchase and a 24 cent tax per gallon of diesel you purchase. It's a tax that's been around for 90 years. It's important because we use it for the Highway Trust Fund to keep our highways going. But what I'm proposing is suspending the federal gas tax without affecting the Highway Trust Fund. And here's how we do that. With the tax revenues up this year and our deficit down over $1.6 trillion this year alone, we'll still be able to fix our highways and bring down prices of gas. We can do both at the same time.
But how much does that save you if it passes through Congress a month? I'm kind of curious if the panel has any guesses. Lauren Lapka, I don't know if you've read any stories about this, but the average American, if that federal gas tax is left behind for a little bit, how much will that save an American a month?
You know what's funny? I think I did see a picture of this, and they were saying, obviously for cars, so I would think regular, it was like $2.30 a gallon. Or not? Does that make sense? $2.30 a gallon, or on average?
18 cents a gallon it saves you.
Right. So I think on average, maybe it was like a month, like $2.30, you know, each time you fill up. And then for diesel, it was like three
per fill up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Which I think kind of matches up based on prices right now.
Yeah. Kevin, any guesses how much it saves you a month?
A month, I would say $15.
Mary Vanderbilt, any guesses?
Yeah, I'm going with like 12-ish.
$8, 10 cents a month. But you're all kind of in the same range, right? It's nothing that's going to alleviate huge problems.
Yeah, because it's $2, you know, a week, I fill up once a week usually. So
just want to give everyone the perspective on how much that is going to save you if it happens. All right, speaking of saving us on the roadways, Mary Vanderbilt, how are we looking in that department and the weather?
Well, temperatures staying pretty steady at 87 tonight, clear, low 64. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and a high of 89. And still have a shooting investigation going on the outbound side of the Ryan at 67th. And that's getting cleared up now, but the left lane is still blocked. The Edens is slow in from Peterson. Kennedy out to the airport about 34 and 50 in from O'Hare. Eisenhower is about a half hour both ways between Mannheim and downtown. With two-night extension delays are heavy now heading outbound into 355. Dan Ryan is 30 minutes heading out to 95th with that investigation. transportation. Eastbound 88 at Cermak, an overturned car. Four lanes are blocked. Also a stall northbound Tri-State at 95th in the right center lane, heavy on I-80 from Kedzie to 294. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
We'll have the weekly Better Business Bureau fraud alert Thursday, including travel scams and people impersonating police at 7:48 a.m. I am the half-awake voice of Chicago. Tomorrow morning at 6 on WGN.
Blaine's Farm and Fleet's Summer Car Care event is going on now. We're your one-stop shop for auto supplies and service to help you get out on the road and make summertime memories. Right now, all tires are buy three, get one free with installation. Plus, rebates up to $70 on select Cooper tires and up to $75 on select Goodyears when you buy a matching set of four. Select Keeper brand ratcheting tie-down straps are sale priced at $13.99. Crank out routine vehicle maintenance with a 192-piece DeWalt Mechanics tool set, $80 off. Repair exhaust with $50 off a Hobart Handler 210 MVP MIG welder. All KT welding accessories are 15% off. And when you get back home, get a half horsepower Flotec shallow well pump and tank combo system, only $299.99. Plus, grab great last minute Father's Day gifts like men's work and sport heavyweight pocket tees, just $12.99.
Find value at Rob tried to manage his constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating day after day. After realizing it was irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, he found another way and finally said yes to adding Linzess.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Before you find yourself caught outside in the rain, be sure to check in with our weather team first. Stay safe and stay connected with Tom Skilling and the WGN-TV Weather Center and the WGN-TV Weather app.
What are you reading?
About Gary Rabine, the Republican candidate for governor. I really like him.
What about those other guys spending all that money on TV?
If their ads indicate how they'll run Illinois, forget them. Gary Rabine cares about the real issues, crime, corruption, the culture war, and taxes.
I'm Gary Rabine. I can and will beat Pritzker. Let's turn Illinois around. It's Rabine time.
Paid for by Rabine for governor.
I love a good barbecue. And the key to that good barbecue, of course, is how you prepare for it. Preparation, right? You can't have too much ice, right? You always need ice. You always run out of ice. You need someone to go run and get ice. Then you have to text people that are coming to your barbecue. Bring more ice. Bring more ice. So that's rule number one. Nobody likes warm beer, of course, hence the ice. With steaks, thicker is always better. And that last step before the big barbecue, you want to remember this one. You got to call Deck Tech. Deck Tech uses an oil-based sealer which penetrates your deck's wood fibers. It replenishes the natural oils which prevent your deck from cracking and splitting. Now, guests at the barbecue will think, boy, you got a new deck here. No, not a new deck. The best part with your deck, with Deck Tech, you won't even break a sweat. Call 800-956-DECK or visit RestoreYourDeck.com. 720 WGN, your money matters. Boy, I don't think anyone can ever win with this gas tax stuff. Seems like the callers aren't too happy about it. 815, if they can fix the highway and to spend the tax and do both at the same time, why haven't they done it before? 262, can't wait to see the roads after no income from the U.S. This isn't the only option to lower prices at the pump. 708, the gas tax break is useless. Pennies are not helping anyone. 630 says the fuel stations will absorb that quickly. I know a lot of people with those higher gas prices, inflation, are doing what I've always advocated, getting that side hustle. Ted Rossman joins us now from Bankrate. And Ted, that number is growing really quickly, isn't it?
So it's interesting. We have this disconnect here. Fewer people are side hustling, but more people are doing it out of necessity. So to put a few numbers behind it, right now, 31% of Americans have a side hustle, and that's down from 38% 3 years ago. Ah. I was surprised it fell. But we found that what rose was the percentage using it for essentials, up from 31% in 2019 to 41% today.
Interesting. And I imagine that makes sense with, you know, inflation and rising gas prices. What was once maybe a way for you to save and invest a little bit more money, the motivation has just shifted.
Exactly. We found that people who are doing this mostly to get some extra disposable income, that fell from 36% to 26% in the past 3 years. People who primarily use this income to boost their savings, that fell from 24% to 17%. We found only 12% of today's side hustlers are using it to pay down debt. I think it is very much an inflation story and people putting in extra hours just to make ends meet.
There's some real discrepancies about who makes more than others, isn't there?
Big time, yeah. Men make about three times as much from their side hustles as women. Unfortunately, that gender pay gap extends to side hustles because men and women are about equally likely to have a side hustle, about equally likely to put in the same number of hours. But for men, the average monthly side hustle income is $1,492. And for women, it's just $571. The most popular side hustle for men is home repair and landscaping. For women, it's babysitting and childcare. I don't know if we could read too much into that.
Yeah.
I feel like those jobs might pay about the same. So,
right.
Yeah, definitely a big difference, though.
Yeah, it must be in those secondary level, not secondary level, but you know what I mean, those other ones that fall or lower percentage-wise. Do men or women, is there a discrepancy in how much use it for paying expenses or not?
That was a big difference as well. Yeah, 48% of women who have a side hustle use it mostly for day-to-day living versus only 33% of men. Some other demographics that stood out were age-based. It's younger millennials, those 26 to 32-year-olds, who are most likely to have a side hustle. 43% do so. Only about 1 in 5 boomers have a side hustle, but their side hustles tend to be more lucrative, I think suggesting the skills, the relationships they've built, maybe some kind of part-time or semi-retirement kind of work. Boomers are bringing in the most money from their side hustles.
Yeah. Do they really help people get ahead? I mean, I've always advocated for that. Are we seeing results? Do people feel like they really do help them connect the dots?
I think they can. I mean, I think there's two different kinds of side hustles, really. I think one is out of necessity, you need the extra money. I think the other main reason is some kind of passion project, and you're trying it out. Maybe it turns into something big. Maybe if nothing else, it's a fun little way to make some extra money. What I thought was discouraging about the data, though, was the fact that people aren't really getting ahead, that this is just kind of a treadmill to just keep up. I thought that was unfortunate. I mean, it's commendable people are working so hard on this. I just would have hoped that more of it would go towards savings, debt payoff, maybe funding a vacation. I often suggest it as a credit card debt payoff tactic because every dollar you earn and you pay down that average credit card at 17%, that's a guaranteed return. Unfortunately, though, more and more people are doing it out of necessity rather than just getting ahead.
I know you can't prognosticate into a crystal ball or anything, but is there any in the data you've seen in previous years where the big R word comes around, if a recession rears its head, do we see spikes in side hustles or does the data not go back far enough to the last one?
I think that's an important point because the backdrop to all these numbers we're talking about is actually one of the best job markets we've had in 50 years. I know it may not feel great because of inflation, but the truth is the unemployment rate right now is 3.6%. I mean, that's about as low as it's been in a half century. So, yeah, what happens if and when unemployment goes up? I mean, if this many people right now are side hustling because they feel like they need to, what if unemployment was higher? I mean, I think you may actually see more people making this their primary income,
right,
at least for the time being. And, you know, that has some disadvantages. The flexibility is nice, but you don't usually get health insurance. You don't usually get retirement benefits. You don't usually get paid time off. So these are challenges.
Right. Really quickly, I saw one other piece of data just to stir the pot a little bit. How about Republicans versus Democrats who bought side hustles?
Yeah, Republicans are a lot more likely to have side hustles. I feel like that one, too, is kind of hard to explain. I mean, one theory is we see things through politically colored glasses, right? I know Republicans are especially upset about inflation. You know, maybe that's making them more likely to feel like they need to work a second job just to make ends meet.
I don't know. That's interesting, though. Ted Rossman, thanks for joining us as always. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Let's take a break then the news here on WGN. We're going to give it a little bit later on, but I think it's a head scratcher. And every time I think that, someone gets it on the very first guess. So maybe someone's going to get a WGN 100th anniversary t-shirt today sooner than I think. The question of the day in just a little bit. I was scrolling through my Twitter feed yesterday, as I am one to do. And as someone who is interested in perhaps buying a house in the coming future, we'll see, fingers crossed, I came across a story that says Chicago's housing boom is over. And I got Dennis Rockin, who wrote the article, on the line right now. Dennis, prove it to me.
Well, John, I'm not sure how to prove it, but I will tell you that the data that I watch indicates pretty strongly that it's over, and that is the volume of homes sold.
Okay.
When COVID kicked in, interest rates were super low, a massive housing boom was set off. Everybody who could was either trading up or becoming a first-time homeowner, and we saw the volume of home sales skyrocket. It really kicked in June of 2020, which was just a few months into the pandemic, and we saw sales volumes that were as much as twice what they had been in some months.
Whoa.
So all the way through 2021, that boom continues, and you know, I report these numbers each month. So in 2022, we're 6 months in, but I have 5 months of data. In the first 4 months, when the data came from Illinois Realtors, it always looked like it was down, but that was only compared to just absolutely crazy volumes in 2021. What I've been doing is comparing it to comparing January to the January average in the years prior to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Same with February, same with March. And so until before May, we were still seeing numbers of homes that were well above the pre-pandemic average, down from 2021, but well above 2015 to 2019, which was really a stretch of normal years.
Mm-hmm.
May data came out yesterday, and for the first time, we saw the number of home sales drop below those normal years. In fact, considerably below. For May, the years 2015 to 2019, the average number of homes sold was a little over 12,000. In May of 2022, it was 11,641. So it was down almost 400, about 350 from the average. And that is a pretty strong indicator that this massive boom is over. I mean, unless it's a blip, which seems extremely unlikely,
right,
if the June data flies back up, but we don't expect to see that.
Yeah, and we're not talking about just the city here. This is a metropolitan look, right?
In fact, it is the nine-county metro area, and what's interesting is I get two sets of numbers from Illinois Realtors Association. One is the nine-county metro area, which includes the city, and the other is the city alone. This boom, this drop I talked about, that's for the nine-county metro. The city is still selling more homes, or in May, still sold more homes than the pre-pandemic average. The city, the boom is not quite over in the number of homes sold. However, price-wise, it really is. We were seeing double-digit price increases for months on end, and nationally, it's been well over a year that home prices have been going up more than 10%, often 15% each month from the same month a year before.
That's so
in the city of Chicago,
yeah,
while there are more homes selling in the city, for the past 5 months, prices have been essentially flat in the city. It's hard to, it's been up less than 1%, down less than 1%. It's been zero, so really flat for 5 months. That's on top of the big increases of 2021. So what we're saying is prices just can't seem to accelerate more than they did in 2021. That's true only in the city, because in the nine-county region, home prices are up over 5% in May from a year before. So we've got sort of conflicting signals here. Sales are way down in the larger region. Prices are flat in the city. But in general, what we're seeing is a slower market than the nation is seeing. One thing I should mention before I turn it back to you is I mentioned prices are up about 5.5% in the region, up over 14% nationwide in May. So we are lagging way behind the rest of the country.
Absolutely. All right. Well timed, Dennis Rock. And I'm going to put you on hold here. I want to dive into this a little bit more with Dennis from Crane Chicago Business. But let's look at traffic and weather. Mary Vandeveld, continue our conversation with Dennis Rockin from Crane Chicago Business. The Chicago housing boom over. Just to really recap before I dive in, Dennis, for people that are just joining us. Overall, 9 counties around the Chicago area, the numbers of homes sold in May of this year was less than pre-pandemic 2019. Although in the city, it's actually up still, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the numbers in the city, while they're up still, the prices are flat. Well, as when you take in the suburbs are actually up 5%. Have I got those two things right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's all true.
That's weird to me. I thought the narrative was that everyone was moving out to the burbs and that crime and other worries were preventing people, didn't want people to move into the city. Now, it may be that a lot of people did that at first and now that has cooled off a little bit. Is that maybe your interpretation of what happened, or do we just really have no idea what these consumers are thinking?
Well, you never heard that narrative from me, John.
No, that's true. That's true.
During the course of 2020, what we did see when the pandemic first hit, we did see a much more buying of homes in the suburbs than in the city. And a great example is Lake Forest, where I had been writing for years. This place is dead. People are spending 2, 3, 5 years trying to get a home sold. And then the pandemic hits, and they can't put enough homes on the market. And that was because people who'd been living in the city in many cases wanted outdoor space. They wanted those big houses worked if you were wealthy enough to buy one, because we could both have offices, our kids could have a classroom, you know, we could do all the things at home that we'd been doing out of the building. And so Lake Forest's market was revitalized. But that doesn't necessarily mean that people were leaving the city.
Right.
What a lot of people did is they just bought a place in the suburbs. They may now put it on the market, or they may keep two homes. We did see far more buying in the suburbs, but in 2021, we saw the city catch back up.
Wow. Okay.
I think a lot of people were hesitant to buy in the city. That narrative that everybody's leaving, we didn't see it in the data.
Yeah.
And I didn't report it because the data did not say everybody's leaving the city. It did say more selling in the suburbs or more buying in the suburbs than in the city. And however, it is true that downtown condos have still struggled into 2022. The downtown condo market really flipped over and died in 2020 because nobody was coming downtown anymore for work. And there were also those spasms of social unrest
right
along Michigan Avenue and elsewhere. So the downtown condo market really had trouble. The penthouse condo market has soared since then. Lower level condos below the $2 million range, they're a little tougher to sell. I've seen condos downtown selling in 2022 for 2003 prices and things like that.
Whoa.
That's been very difficult because, you know, we didn't get back downtown as much as we thought we would. Everything's been delayed.
It wasn't a light switch going from off to on, exactly.
Yeah, which we thought might happen. I think we all hoped would happen. But the penthouse buying is absolutely insane. We already have, in 2022, have seen 8 penthouse condos sell for $8 million or more, the highest is $20 million.
Right.
Very wealthy people, very affluent people are buying downtown condos in numbers we just haven't really seen in the past.
Well, Bob Surratt bought one, again, and John Landecker bought the other one, so you're good there.
Yeah, exactly. And you said you're shopping, so
that's my range.
$1 million purchase.
So, and I did mention that, and anecdotally, you know, we were flipping through, you know, one of these apps that shows you what's available, and boy, right. 6 months ago, 5 months ago even, you couldn't find much out there. It was like you widened the map and the parameters just to see some houses. I have started to notice, and this may be just, you know, anecdotal, that more houses are popping up. I've started seeing some price cuts, and Is that what the data bears out too, or no?
More supply? Really unfortunate. Yeah. We had the tightest inventory. We had ridiculously tight inventory, tighter and tighter and tighter, and it bottomed really in January, February. We got down to about 1.6 months inventory. A healthy market has enough homes on the market to sell for 4 to 6 months. We were down to 1.6 months. It's never been that low in the 2 decades that figure has been tracked. And that looked really bad.
Yeah.
However, so people started saying, well, then I should get my house ready.
Right.
I should get it on the market. I need to get it prepped. And unfortunately, the timing has been a little awkward because now interest rates are rising. So we've got more inventory on the market, but interest rates are rising so fast that you don't really know how those two are going to interact.
Right.
Will we see sales and prices continue at the strength they had, or will interest rates have more than doubled just in the course of 2022. So what will happen?
Yeah.
It's great that there's a lot more inventory on the market. It means you don't have to stand in line. You don't have to get into a bidding war. Probably won't pay over the asking price. You can hope.
Yeah.
But with interest rates rising, it may be that there are fewer people who even want to stand in line, who even want to look at that inventory. We're going to have to watch that for a couple months.
I'll keep you posted, Dennis, on what happens. Just from a very personal perspective.
And let me know when you buy that $10 million contract.
Oh, yeah. That'll be
front page for us.
Yeah, you're my first call. Dennis Rockin, always great to chat with you, my friend.
Thanks, John.
Interesting stuff. Hey, the question of the day, here it is. We'll have time for maybe a guess or two after the break for a WGN Radio t-shirt. Launched in 1994, once valued at $44 billion, now valued at $4 billion, very few people know that this company's name is actually an acronym. It was launched in 94, valued at $44 billion at one point, now down to $4 billion. And you may not know that this company's name is actually an acronym. 312-981-7200, if you've got a guess. We've got a t-shirt for you if you've got it. After this on WGN. This company was launched in 1994. It was once valued at $44 billion. That's now down to $4 billion. And very few people know that the company's name is actually an acronym. First guest, let's go to Larry. Hey, Larry, you're on WGN.
Oh, thank you. How about America?
Go ahead.
American Online. America Online.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that is obviously a company acronym, and America Online actually came out. I'm trying to find the day because it is not the answer to the question of the day, but I'll explain to you why not. Larry, great guess though, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Let us go to Stuart. Stuart, what's your guess, my friend?
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Good.
I was thinking it was kind of in the news recently. I'm thinking it might be Internet Explorer.
Interesting guess. Nope, that's not the answer. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't even be able to begin to think of what the acronym might have been. But look forward to hearing the answer, though.
Thank you. John, you're on WGN. You've got 10 seconds. What's your guess?
Yahoo.
Which stands for Yet Another Hierarchically Organized Oracle. You've got the answer right, John. Stay on the line for your prize, okay?
Thank you.
That'll do it for Your Money Matters.